Thank you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Today's show will be a little unpredictable. It's Inauguration Day, so we're waiting to find out what the exact schedule is. We know we're going to carry it live, but we don't know if it's going to happen in a couple of minutes or 15 minutes.
So oh, no, just bear with us. Later in the program.
Oh, it will, Steve? All right.
I love when you say program. It's just a cool later in the program.
Yep. I meant the program for the inauguration.
Oh. Yeah,
not this one. Not
because we are running the entire program at WGNradio.com on the stream, I believe. That's what I've been hearing this morning. And we're going to actually take the swearing in.
There it is.
Hello.
This juices it up a little.
Oh, just at the end of the music. But
oh.
Timing is nothing.
What are we can't, of course, see it, Steve. I'm guessing you can see it in the newsroom. What's happening now? Anything?
It's halftime. Both teams are in the locker rooms.
Oh, all right.
No, people are just gathering now.
Yeah.
So the program hasn't actually started. I think it's probably going to start closer to 10:30.
Does Rahm Emanuel attend this, or does he not attend this?
Oh, I would think he would attend this.
He should be there?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he would be there even if he, you know, lost, and certainly he didn't even run, so
right.
I would imagine he'll be there. But imagine Richard M. Daley will be there as well.
It's the handing over of the reins. So you want the current into former mayor, of course, being there to welcome the new
predecessor.
Mayor.
Right. It's
right?
A smooth transition of power.
How come this is not getting more excitement and press that, you know, the first female African-American lesbian? I want more excitement.
All right, so that it's funny you bring that up, because I have in my hand an article from the Chicago Tribune, and here's what it says. Lori Lightfoot inauguration, first black gay woman to be sworn in on Monday as Chicago's mayor. Here's the question. If you're her, if you're Lori Lightfoot, do you want that to be part of the narrative, or do you not want that to be part of the narrative?
I can't answer for her, but I would think, yes, you do.
I can't figure it out. Like, if it was me, I'd go, yeah, it's true, but... So what?
Well,
you know what I mean? Let's look beyond that. But I'm torn, because it's certainly an accomplishment, because it means we're all advancing as a society, because there was a time where if you were one of those things,
right.
If you were just a woman, if you were just black, if you were just gay, that would be enough for people to go, I can't vote for somebody like that. But now you can be all three and still win office, and that's a big deal. But if you're that person, you go, I wish the focus wasn't on that, you know?
But she now has a voice to show gay kids out there, look, you can achieve greatness.
Right.
It doesn't
so
matter.
True.
And
so
I was
true.
Thinking about that myself, because, you know, why do I have to know someone's sexual preference?
Right. Okay, so years ago, there's a very good chance that somebody somewhere was elected to office who was gay, but we didn't know that.
Right.
Right? But now... now it is part of the story, right? So is that, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's somewhere in the middle, right? It's both good and bad.
Well, I think it's good. I mean, people ask about the phrase openly gay.
Yeah.
And that's why, because to not say that makes the assumption that, or the assumption is that there were certainly gay politicians in the
right,
past.
Right.
We just didn't know about it. So that's
right.
Openly gay sometimes gets in the way, but, I think it's a positive thing. I mean, look, in my newscast at 10, I tried very carefully. I didn't say any of that because I think we probably know it, but I did mention that she's holding an open house with her wife.
But as...
you know, which is a
I want
cool
more
thing.
Hoopla. I do.
Hoopla that she's gay or...
That she's a woman, that she's the first African-American woman, that she's gay.
Right.
I want the hoopla.
I think it's there, Wendy. I don't know. I mean...
I want more.
But over and over during the... All right, so remember when... We were finding out who the candidates were who were running for mayor, and there was a lot. There's not as many as there are Democrats running for president, but there were a lot. So one of the things that was setting her apart was people saying, and if Miss Lightfoot was to win, she would be
mm-hmm.
the first black woman, the first black gay woman to ever hold office in Chicago as mayor. So that may have distinguished her a little bit, but I still can't help but wonder if I was her, because I swear if it was me... After a day or two of that, I'd go, okay, it's all true, but let's move on.
Well,
let's...
I think she succeeded in large part because that wasn't her campaign.
Right.
That
right,
was,
right
that
exactly.
Was part of who she
oh,
was,
absolutely.
But that wasn't what she was running for.
Right.
I'll never forget my 16-year-old son, Dylan, was like, so Lori Lightfoot, first African-American woman to be mayor, and she's gay? And I said, yeah. And he goes, cool.
Yeah.
And it is cool.
Yeah.
Times, they are a-changing.
Right,
Right. Not for some people, though.
This would all right. Let's go back to set the Wayback Machine, Sherman, to 1955. People's heads would have spun around if somebody said, "Yeah, there's a mayor in Chicago, and guess what? She's a woman. Guess what? She's black. Guess what? She's gay.
Guess people what? She probably wouldn't have won.
Not a chance. Not
so
a chance.
So we have made huge strides. I know she says, you know, I'm openly gay. I know it shouldn't be, you know, top of the heap, but I want more hoopla. She should be Time Woman of the Year.
Well, maybe. The year's less than halfway old, so maybe. All right,
I just want some positivity for Chicago for once.
Right.
This is a good thing.
Right. All right, let's take a break. We've got a full show. A lot of it will be the inauguration, but there's other things planned as well. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
How will we survive without Game of Thrones?
Impossible.
Now, have you watched any of it?
Nope.
All right.
I know there's dragons.
Can I just tell you, I haven't watched a lick of it. Mm-hmm. And last night is the season and series finale.
Yes.
So Jimmy Mack, Michael Mack, and I said, let's do something goofy and watch the finale.
Yeah, watch the last episode.
I will never go back and watch it. This is just not my thing. So we set the DVR to record it, mm-hmm. and we sit down to watch it, and it's an hour and a half, and we're watching it, and the three of us were on our phones a lot during it, mm-hmm. not really 100% into it. We get to the end, and we're like, that's it?
Yeah.
Apparently, someone recorded an episode from 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So it wasn't. So I ruined my whole thing.
Yeah.
To watch just the finale.
Oh, no.
I got to tell you, I told you I don't like dragons and period pieces.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like dragons.
Oh, you do now.
I didn't know you could ride them.
Yeah, you can ride dragons. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Over the weekend, I was riding the dragon.
Everyone rides the dragon on the weekend.
Is that code for something?
No.
All right. Well, the dragons are pretty cool. Yeah. It's beautiful to look at. Very dark. I will say that. Like, you know, the screen is dark.
Is the episode you saw the one that everybody said, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's so dark.
No, but they swear and they drink more than I have ever envisioned.
Now, did you maybe pop in a home movie instead of...
This wasn't the wedding video, was it?
Oh, that's funny. We didn't have dragons at our wedding. But if I were getting married now, I might.
Sure. The zoning laws have changed.
We sat there during an hour and a half,
and then
we realized...
Well, that's horrible.
That's how the whole thing ends. So there was a little, like, Googling, and Jem's like, I recorded the wrong one.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, my God, that's an hour and a half we can't get back. So tonight I'm going to watch the finale.
Well, now you should watch the last two.
Yeah, watch them in order so that it makes more sense.
This was like from 2 weeks ago. This was just a random...
That's what I mean. So then watch last week's and then...
I don't care.
And then go back and watch the rest. Like, you know how in Godfather 2 they showed you stuff in retrospect? It's all out of sequence, but you could watch it that way and enjoy it that way.
You could do your own flashbacks. Just say, season 4, episode 2.
Yeah. I didn't like it that much. I just wanted to see. In fact, we recorded the later version.
Yeah.
And I almost watched the last 10 minutes, but I thought I'd be jipping myself.
Yeah.
But it's just the whole plan is ruined. Never watched a second of it. And we're going to watch the finale after 8 years. And I missed it.
But now, remember on Friday, I told you that I always feel the need when there's a show of some cultural impact.
That's why we wanted to watch it.
Right. And sometimes it pays off, but other times you just go, I don't know who any of these people are. So you don't have the vested interest. Like people who watched it from the beginning, of course, they really care about who becomes the king, but you didn't care who became the king.
I don't know because I didn't get there.
Oh.
I don't even know what I watched.
Oh, right.
And it was funny. All three of us, none of us had seen any second of that show. So at the opening credits, there's this tree. And Jim's like, oh, yeah, that is the tree of life. And Michael's like, how do you know that? He goes, I don't. I'm just making this up.
Right.
But we had fun kind of going through it, not knowing a thing.
Yeah.
But I would have thought this would have been right up Jim's alley.
No, he's not.
No?
He's more sci-fi. This is medieval. He gets medieval on people's butts, but no, he's not that into that at all.
Huh.
This is more the Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. I never realized how much I like dragons, you guys.
Yeah, now you're a big dragon fan.
They are cool beasts.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
side.
I'll lend you my DVD of Pete's Dragon. You'll love it.
Actually, they have a tenderizer side, too.
They do.
I saw a particular episode where something not great happens to a dragon. Let's just say that. So I don't know how far back that was.
I don't like when bad things happen to dragons, Wendy. I'm out. I'm not going to watch it. Did you get to see Diana Rigg from the Avengers?
I don't think so.
She's in it.
In the last episode?
I just know she's been on the show. That's
I don't think
all
she
I know.
Was in this season, though.
Oh, no? She's out?
I don't think she was in this season.
Speaking of the Avengers, I had a plan in place. This is a 2 or 3 week old plan. I couldn't wait to see the movie The Avengers.
Endgame?
And my plan was, I'm going to see it during the last episode of Game of Thrones. Because no one will be there. And that's exactly what happened. I went last night. There were 11 people in the theater. It was great.
That is pretty great.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I was blown away by how many... There's a bunch of cameos. Like, I've seen a bunch of the movies leading up to this, so I know that they bring in, you know, some major actors to play parts.
The all-stars.
Everybody was in it. There's, like, no part in the movie where you don't go, oh, my God, that guy's in it, too, and she's in it, and that guy's in it. And then the credits, they're still going on.
Really?
I saw it last night. They're still running credits.
So don't leave during the credits.
No.
I like that warning. Yeah. There was also another gaffe in the last episode of GOT.
I know.
That's what I'm going to call it.
Are you just calling it GOT now?
Mm-hmm.
Which is phenomenal.
Right.
I almost feel like they did it on purpose.
I think they did.
The first one was a coffee cup, and now last night's was just a water bottle or something?
It's like a quart water bottle.
These dragons get thirsty, though. But you get very parched as a dragon because you're always breathing fire.
Wouldn't you think after the coffee cup incident that someone would have said, okay.
Right.
It came during a key
frame.
Moment of the show as Tyrion, I don't know, Lannister.
Tyrion Lannister. That's
that's Dinklage.
That's your Peter Dinklage right there.
He's great.
He's so good.
I just forgot how much I
loved
him.
You got dragons
him.
And
again,
Dinklage, Wendy.
So based on season 8, episode 6,
yeah,
she declares him great.
Big fan. Huge
but
fan.
I know I will never go back and catch up and watch from the beginning.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because
it's got dragons and Dinklage. D&D.
I don't need that much of it.
Drinking.
Right. Yes.
I'm swearing.
So the water mishap came. I don't have the
It was during a key. It doesn't matter what scene it was.
It was a plastic water bottle behind Sir Samwell Tarly's left foot in Sunday night series finale.
Oh.
And
you couldn't see it. I mean, I certainly didn't notice it. But, I mean, there are eagle-eyed people who are looking for those things now.
Right.
I think they did it on purpose.
No, because it would compromise their believability.
And then why are you a fan of the show and then you hate the last season and want it to be remade? I don't understand any of this.
Oh, I understand it. Weren't you a huge fan of Lost until it fell apart at the end?
I just wanted it to keep going. That's what
I
think fans are upset that it's over.
Well, when you have that kind of vested interest in a show or in a series of movies and then it doesn't live up, and I can't say this about Game of Thrones because I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But what I keep reading online is people say they did the show a certain way for all these years, and this year it's different, and it's not as good. But I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, they're not going to remake it.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
They just, you know, all the other seasons were not toward resolving everything, and that's they had to resolve everything in this one, and
right.
It just made it a different animal.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't my favorite season by any means, but... I mean, you know, I was watching with my son last night, which is great because he's not usually around. And, you know, I don't think you can tell a writer how to write his show.
But, Steve, you know how, like on other classic shows, I'll use Breaking Bad as an example. They knew the show was coming to an end, so they paced it a certain way so that the characters would all have their payoff moments and that the storyline would pay off. And Mad Men's another one. They knew we got another season to go. Let's close off the storylines, and they paced it properly. Everybody keeps saying with Game of Thrones, it wasn't done that way. Everything was rushed in the last season.
Well, it was more rushed than the rest of the seasons were. I think that's true.
And recalling Lost, which I loved, excuse me, it seemed like they were just making it up as they went along because they were out of time. That was lame.
The two producers of the show... There's a guy named Carlton Cruz who I saw on a talk show talk about this, where midway through the run, he goes, we know we have 3 more years, so we have to figure out how to get from point A to point B. But then once it played out, you go, you could have done a better job of figuring out how to get from point A to point B than you did.
And I have also some disheartening television news for you. We were watching the Laugh-In reboot.
Yes.
That is on, I believe, Netflix.
My daughter was there.
She
what
was
do
there.
You mean? When they filmed it?
Yeah.
Maria Bamford, who we had on the show, was remember she brought up that she was a part of it, and I didn't really know what she was talking about. They kind of put old clips up against new clips. They had the cocktail party where people were dancing, and they'd show like a clip of
Judy Kern,
yes,
or Goldie Hawn
doing a one-liner, and then they'd, you know, show the nowadays, like Tiffany Haddish was doing something. It was dirty, it was raunchy, and it was not very funny.
Oh no.
And it was kind of heartbreaking. I wanted it to be so good.
He tried once before. It's George Schlatter, the guy who produces it. He tried once before to bring it back. And I don't know, maybe it's just because it was so the original fit into a certain time frame better than trying it now. Like, when you look at a lot of stuff they did on Laugh-In, like Artie Johnson dressed like a German soldier riding a tricycle and tipping over, that's not hysterical now, but for some reason in 1970 it was. I don't know why.
But when they showed the old clips, I still laughed. It was trying to, like... They had new people doing these one-liners. Who's the Toastmaster General?
Jeffrey Ross.
He was on it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote for it, but it just...
This wasn't good.
No. Oh, like, no. It could have been so much funnier.
Well...
So that was disappointing. It's probably still worth...
I'm going to still watch it, but I'm going to watch it out of sequence like you did with Game of Thrones. I'm going to watch an episode from years ago instead.
And I'll have a sound effect for you that will make it funnier. Can I give you this?
Yeah. Yeah, now it's funny.
Sock it to me.
Sock it to me, says Steve in the newsroom.
Sock it to
Steve,
me.
Steve, work that into a news story at some point today, would you, please?
I'm bogged down with I'll Say the World. I can't do
it. All right, we'll take a break. Steve's got the news, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
John Williams or Eric Zorn know that we're doing a radio show?
I'd prefer that they didn't know, but you can tell them if you want to. It's up to you. Eric Zorn is in studio with us. He will be making his regular appearance later on in the show, but he's come by early to watch the inauguration with us. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to watch. I just wanted to watch with some friends.
Yeah, that's nice.
I don't have any friends back at the office.
We're your friends.
I know. Yeah. It's nice.
You're going to get a little misty-eyed during the inauguration?
A little emotional.
Yeah.
What's going on right now? They're singing or something?
I don't know. John Williams is now bothering Steve Bertrand.
He's not bothering me. He's just watching the inauguration with me.
Yeah.
So we are running this on the stream right now. If you want to go to WGN Extra, and we are going to have when Lori Lightfoot actually takes the oath, correct?
That is correct. The national anthem being performed now. And we'll hear, you know, there are other office holders being sworn in as well today. And so, you know, they will take the oath. There'll be other prayers and services, things like that. And then Lori Lightfoot takes the oath later in the program, and then she'll speak.
Does Lori Lightfoot's daughter get to miss school, I hope, for today?
Oh, I hope so.
To be there?
Yeah. I would imagine that's an excused absence.
All right.
Yeah.
And Rahm Emanuel went to the podium for a second.
It's like a mic check.
Yeah, I don't know what he did.
So check 1, 2. No, he just said, I'm out of here. That's all he said.
That's all he said?
He walked away and said, I'm out of here.
It was weird. He said, Seacrest out. And I don't know.
Wow. What a surprise. So if we understand this right,
I think
Eric,
he issued the call to order, like the official call to order of the ceremony.
He's still a mayor.
He's the mayor until the swearing in, and then that's it.
It's seamless.
Because
a pothole needs to be filled.
Right.
You got to have a mayor in charge.
Oh, there are potholes that need to be filled. They're swallowing cars whole out there.
Will Mayor Emanuel pardon anybody in these last few moments?
I don't think he has that power.
He does not have the power.
But if he did, he would.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Right. Just go to the lectern and just pardon people at random just to see what happens.
As a mayor, he would have jurisdiction over, say, parking tickets.
Right.
He could say,
right,
I hereby absolve,
right,
which would not be a bad idea. Really.
Right. Pull that off in the last few hours.
Well, pretty exciting day here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. Did you see the strange weekend that Arnold Schwarzenegger had?
I heard little bits and pieces about this. Please explain.
You
got to
see the footage of this because it doesn't make sense. Did you see this, Eric?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is in South Africa, and he's at an event where they're honoring young athletes. And he's, at the moment, he's just kind of signing autographs. He's in a giant, like a gymnasium setting, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things, a lot of chaos in the room. And he's being very cordial and friendly to people and signing autographs. And a guy comes up from behind him and kind of uses a martial arts kick and kicks him in the back and knocks him over. And he's quickly taken. There's security guards there who quickly pick him up and take him away.
Knocks him off his feet?
And he's, knocked Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger off of his feet. But the guy who did this, I don't think I have to say allegedly because you can see the footage of him doing it, is yelling and moaning and complaining that the guards are treating him roughly, too roughly.
So why is that Arnold's? That's why he kicked him?
No, nobody knows.
Oh, afterwards.
The belief is he kicked him just to get some attention, which he's gotten. And Arnold Schwarzenegger has said, talk about the athletes that are at this event that I was there to honor. Don't talk about me getting kicked.
He said he doesn't want to prosecute the guy, right?
He does not want to, right.
He jumps up in the air and kicks him just the middle of his shoulder blades in the back, and he jolts forward so much.
Yeah.
It's a nice magnanimous gesture not to prosecute him, but I think it sends a really bad message that you can dropkick other celebrities.
Right.
I mean, he's a celebrity now. He's not a politician anymore, right?
Right.
So,
oh, this just in. Maria Shriver sent the kid.
Oh, she did. It all makes sense now.
Whose daughter? Didn't his daughter just marry someone?
She's engaged to Chris Pratt.
Oh, right.
Yeah. From Guardian
Thank
of the
God
Galaxy.
You are today's Rona Barrett, or yes, I could not keep track of any of
I'm
this.
I'm surprised they didn't invite me to the inauguration to do some Rona Barrett reports.
If Rona is listening, we don't want her to think she's not missed.
No, she's missed.
In fact, we're going to try and book her for the show. I watched her all the time.
Do I need to explain to her that she passed away years and years ago, or should I not tell her?
I wouldn't say that, Bill. She's not.
She's sensitive on that point.
I'm usually, Eric, believe me, I'm usually so good about knowing who is dead and who is not, and Rona Barrett's name keeps coming up, and I go, oh, you guys, she died. Don't talk about her like that. But she didn't die. She's very much alive. So we'll have her on to explain that to us.
I wouldn't say that to her. I would just, I probably wouldn't even say that I say you guys have the same haircut, too.
No, I'm not going to tell her that.
Because she's updated her look a little bit, but years ago when her picture was in one of the papers, there was a little picture of her because she used to do the gossipy
yes, she did.
Things, showbiz report or whatever.
She may have been America's top gossip columnist.
What about
at the
Walter
time.
Scott? Is he still around?
He's.
I don't know who that is.
From Personality Parade?
In Parade Magazine.
What?
Yeah, the inside
yeah.
cover of Parade. Right. He's always, and there's always these questions that you could easily Google.
It was stuff like this. A friend and I have a bet. Was Robert Culp ever the king of Sweden? It was always stuff like that. No. No, I don't think
or
he was.
Or it's easily Googleable. Like, what year was Tom Hanks born?
Right. But he was pre-Google. Walter Scott was Google before Google.
And
was
you would
Google.
Think that you would think that Google would have just destroyed the careers of people who answered this, you know, quote unquote trivia questions.
Right.
Because you can answer almost anything with a Google.
Right. So. Right. There used to be, I don't know if you'll remember this, but my dad had a collection of these books called Whatever Became Of, and each book had 25 or 30 or 40 profiles of people that were really, really famous 25 or 30 years ago, but you hadn't heard of anymore. But again, now because of Google, you can go, I wonder what Dabney Coleman's up to. And you could just type it in, but back then you couldn't.
Dabney so
you
to, Coleman's, he...
You had to buy
he,
a book.
Is he dead?
No, he's alive.
It says Walter Scott is still doing something on Parade Online.
Oh, he
Parade. Is. Parade.com. It says Walter Scott, editor.
I'm going to send him a bunch of questions.
What about... Also in Parade was what? Marilyn Vos Savant, the woman with the highest IQ in the world?
Oh, right. I remember her. Ask Marilyn.
Yeah. I think she's still around. And oftentimes people will be just like writing in for relationship advice.
Right.
Like, you're really smart. What would you do? My husband is cheating on me.
Right.
Should I dump him or...
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show ahead. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy and Eric Zorn from the Tribune on WGN.
All right, it is raining like crazy. It's raining like cats and dogs. Don't step in a poodle. See, now that would have been funny on the Laugh-In show.
That would have been great on Laugh-In. I like that you did the Roy Spencer impression for Roy, because he told me privately once that when you do that, it makes him cry.
Although he did it back to me, he just made me do it. All right.
You should have done Roy Spencer meeting Owen Wilson. That would have been a killer. Will you do that at some point for us? Maybe on our birthdays?
Maybe. I think I've lost Owen Wilson.
Oh, don't say that, Wendy. That would be tragic.
I forgot the tagline. What's his catchphrase?
Does he have a catchphrase? I don't know if he does.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's better.
No, it's
now
not
you're back
cool.
in it.
I don't know who it is.
No.
All right, Eric Zorn is hanging around because the big news today is the swearing in of our new mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. And we are awaiting that to happen. That will be soon.
Looks like we have a new city clerk. They're swearing in
Anna Valencia. She's taking the oath here. And there's the applause for the oath. We have a new clerk. That's it. You're going to have to wait for more.
Oh, I thought they were going to run the show.
No, we're not.
She doesn't make a speech?
No, really, she does not.
Now, Rahm will be speaking, I would imagine.
Rahm? No, I don't believe so.
Really?
He won't speak?
Valencia takes the oath, and then...
No, she is going to speak.
Oh, she is speaking. Yeah. Well, then... That's not part
this
of
my show.
We're just supposed to run Lori.
This
Lightfoot.
Is going
to
go right into John Williams' show, I'm afraid.
Steve, will Kwame Raoul be speaking?
Kwame Raoul will not be speaking.
Will Fritz Kagi be speaking?
Fritz Kagi's already taken the oath. He's probably in the audience.
Will Billy Deck be speaking?
Will I be slugging you in the face?
Wow. He got violent fast. I'm not used to that.
Steve, isn't Bill kind of like a child who like keeps asking you why? Why?
Are we there yet?
Why isn't he
are we there yet?
Right. Why isn't he talking?
The difference
why is she saying? What is she talking
the
about?
The difference is the child doesn't realize he's being annoying.
But I love to be. All right, but so when the new mayor speaks, that's what we'll cover, right?
Yeah, when she takes the oath. But I mean, we do. It's going to be
several other people first,
especially if we're going to have speeches.
All right. Are they not allowed to applaud when the names are read off, like at graduation, Steve? Or are they allowed to applaud?
I think they are allowed to applaud, Bill.
Right. So they're going to swear in all 50 aldermen, or just the new ones?
I don't think the aldermen are being sworn in at this particular meeting.
Do they still swear on a Bible?
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk away now.
No, I just have this.
Lori Lightfoot is being sworn in on the Bible that was given to her for her high school graduation, I think.
Okay.
What if you're not religious and don't believe in it?
Yes, that's where I was going with this. No. But seriously, I have a Bible that my dad gave me when I made my first communion, and he wrote something in it that's really sweet because he's no longer around, and it says, "Let your light shine before all men." And I look at it every once in a while, and it means a lot to me. But I thought, you know, we're supposed to separate church and state. How come they still use a Bible for swearing in purposes?
I think it's not required.
Right,
so you can choose whatever text you want.
By the way, Eric, you were
Dianetics?
Right. Eric, I misspoke. The aldermen are being sworn in today, too.
Oh.
That's happening now.
All right.
But doesn't it seem weird that they're using a Bible?
Right.
Well, not if they want to use a Bible.
But it'd be weirder if somebody was sworn in on Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
But if you can choose your own book, why wouldn't you choose Catch-22 or something?
Right.
Or 1984, George Orwell.
George Orwell. I don't think it's the book that it's not that it
it's
has
the
to
formality.
Be
formality.
That's the issue.
All right.
All right. I just was curious about
good
these
question.
Things.
Or everybody poops. That's a popular one.
Why wouldn't you choose that? It's political office.
Who's worse here, Bertrand, Bill, or Eric? I know I'm bad, too.
I'm voting Eric.
Eric wins.
I think Eric's going to win.
Eric, you won.
Thank you. I'm going to give my victory speech.
We'll cover your speech.
All right, let's get caught up on things because Lori Lightfoot will be, we will run the swearing in. We'll listen to our new mayor. I can't wait to hear her. And that's all right here. No need to go anywhere else. It's 720 WGN.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Now, normally we talk to Eric at 11:30 on Mondays, but this week a little bit different because of the inauguration.
It's very complicated.
Very
strange.
The whole
schedule is very complicated.
Yes, very confusing.
And the newsroom will keep us posted as to when Lori Lightfoot begins speaking. We will cover that here on 720 WGN.
There's a prayer for peace. Do we want to cut in for that?
No, we'll just assume it.
There's a lot of ceremony. It's like a bullfight.
Yeah.
You know, with all the picadors are going to come out next.
Right.
The rest of it is running on the stream at WGN Extra. So if you want to hear that prayer for peace, feel free.
It's there on the stream.
Stay with us.
Eric, you recently wrote about something about our mayor, our outgoing mayor, and he's very outgoing.
He is.
And he's still the mayor until the
oath of
office is taken.
And the Riverwalk, and you're getting a lot of response to this.
Positive response, I've got to say. Well, I love the Riverwalk. The newly redone
beautiful
Riverwalk. And Mayor Emanuel did not think up the Riverwalk or start the Riverwalk, but he has really driven the Riverwalk. He has promoted it and pushed for redevelopment of it, and you know, we have this new, we can see from this window here the eastern extension of it all the way under Lakeshore Drive.
I gotta go take a peek.
It's quite lovely.
You can just turn around there, Wendy, and see it. And it's really a great walk. I had a guest come in from out of town last week, and we just walked from Clark and Lake all the way.
It's beautiful,
way down.
Isn't it?
It's a wonderful amenity, and if you remember what the river was before Mayor Daley began trying to improve it, it was nothing. You could barely get down there, and
right,
it was just scrubby and industrial. And now it's really become a jewel, and it's just really starting to get going because they're going to put a lot more retail, restaurants, and so on. And it's a great attraction. Anyway, Emmanuel has been, according to Fran Spielman of the Sun-Times, he's been dropping hints that he would like the Riverwalk named for him. And, you know, we're never going to call it the ROM. You know, we're never going to call it. It's never going to be.
Right.
I mean, I do think, just as a side note, that the idea to rename the Circle Interchange for Jane Byrne has worked. And I didn't think that it would. I thought people would always just call it the Circle.
That did take effect. But I'm surprised.
It took effect. And I give all credit to the traffic reporters in town, because they're the ones who really control how we refer to these things. And people refer to the Jane Byrne Interchange now.
And the Ida B. Wells instead of Congress instead Parkway.
I mean, that'll happen. People will resist that. I mean, renaming things is always kind of controversial. And I would think that you could put his name on the archway entrances to it. You know, you use the Riverwalk.
Like Rod Blagojevich had for the tollways.
For the tollways, right. And people will never refer to it. It's not going to be like the Willis Tower, where you've got to decide how you're going to, like, how are you going to get to the train station? Well, I thought I would walk along the ROM.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's going to be the Riverwalk. So I thought, so in that way, it would be kind of like an honorary street sign. One of those brown signs, like Hugh Hefner Way or whatever. No one ever says, meet me at the corner of Hugh Hefner Way and Michigan Avenue. That doesn't happen. I think he deserves it. There's a lot of good things that Rahm Emanuel did, a lot of bad things that he did, bad things that happened for good reasons, and maybe some bad things for bad reasons. And people reminded me a lot of those in the wake of writing this column, where I said, give it to him. And my other thing that I said about this was, I thought we should wait. We should wait 5 years. The way Baseball Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wait. They just wait so that.
To see how history treats him?
Well, yeah, there's no cheap sentiment involved. There's no, like, let's give him a parting gift, anything like that. You just wait 5 years and let's see how history treats the Emanuel administration. Some of that's going to be based on how well Lori Lightfoot is able to address these problems that a lot of people think, well, Rahm didn't reach out to the neighborhoods. The neighborhoods are still struggling. Is a new mayor, is new leadership going to be able to do that? Is it going to be able to curb the violence? Is it going to be able to get the budget?
You suggesting that if she does well, this is a darker mark on him because he didn't do things?
Sure. I mean, it's obviously, you know, the whole campaign was about, for a lot of these candidates, was about, you know, Rahm Emanuel has not been a good mayor. These are all the problems, and these are the problems that I'm going to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've seen over the years that running a city like Chicago is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these competing interests. You've got the demands of the business community. You've got the neighborhoods. You've got education. You've got the unions. You've got the residents who feel like they're taxed enough already. And so you have this entire these competing interests all sniping at you at once. You also have the incredible amount of pension debt that has to be dealt with. And right now we have a city budget that's about $250 million
more than Lori Lightfoot.
Out of balance. Well, there's that. There's the $250 million. There's also about the same amount of money in pension payments that are due. And then we've just sort of discovered in sort of opening the books in the last couple of days that it's about $200 million more than that.
Yeah.
So she's going to have to make some really tough decisions.
Sure.
And Mayor Emanuel had to make some really tough decisions, and you can second guess a lot of them. And, you know, the question of, you know, he closed 50 schools, and I don't think he closed them because he hates poor people or because he doesn't want kids to be educated.
It's,
I think,
budgetary reasons.
He talked a lot about how he wanted to improve education.
Yeah.
I think you can say that was a bad decision. I mean, you can argue about it, certainly, that even when you cut these schools that were under-enrolled, that you hollowed out these neighborhoods and made education worse.
Yeah.
You can also argue that you were spending a lot of money keeping 50 buildings open for not that many kids. Closing the mental health care centers. A lot of people angry at Emanuel over that. Advocates for the mentally ill have been saying, well, you know, that maybe wasn't such a bad idea, that we don't want to separate out mental health care services from general health care services. And so closing these centers and integrating mental health care with other kind of health care is a better way to go. All I'm saying is there are a lot of things you can debate about. Some people were writing to me saying, a lot of people wrote and said, well, why don't we name the Riverwalk for Laquan McDonald? Because, you know, that's arguably the biggest black mark on Rahm Emanuel's career, was that he was quite arguably involved in covering up that video for more than a year.
Yeah.
And covering up that crime and trying to, you know, have the family go away for his own political reasons. And I can't come up with a great excuse for why that might have happened. He says that he didn't see the video. Is that a plausible thing. It might be. It might be that
I don't know. If you're mayor, aren't you? Don't you want us? Like, let me take a look at this. What are we dealing with?
You would think that would be the presumption. It's possible that given that there's so many lawsuits against the city and there that it wasn't. No one ever came to him and said, "You've got to see this particular video." There are a lot of things on the mayor's plate. I'm not saying that I necessarily believe that, but that's what he says.
Right.
He didn't see the video.
Right.
But in any case, there's a lot of controversy, and then people are saying, "Well, we shouldn't ever name things after politicians." And I just think, you know, I think that that's unrealistic. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at how greatly honored Richard J. Daley is in this town. There's
right.
There's Richard J. Daley College. There's the plaza. There's a boat landing for Richard J. Daley.
Yeah.
There's very little named for Richard M. Daley.
Right. Right.
There's a branch library on the west side that's named for him. But
how come?
There are no. Well, I think part of that is because there was a sense when he left that he left us in a lot of trouble. And one of the things that I fault Emanuel for is not really naming and shaming Daley. There was obviously some deal with the Daley family not to blame Mayor Daley, because, you know, what Daley did, he gave us these really long, really costly union contracts in order to, because he thought we were going to get the 2016 Olympics. So he gave us these very burdensome labor contracts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thought it was pretty nice. Her brother, Gordon Lightfoot, very happy for her.
Right.
I took away three words from this whole thing. I heard family, I heard community, and I heard hope.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel good for the city of Chicago.
There was optimism throughout. Eric, do you see it any differently?
I thought it was a terrific speech.
Yeah.
And I love the metaphor of the four stars, sort of rewriting
right.
The Chicago flag, the four stars on it, and having the safety, education, stability, and integrity being those four stars that she's going to be aiming for. It was a fabulous speech. I thought it was. I got no problems with it. I usually like to pick these things apart and go, "Hey, well, I shouldn't say this."
Yeah.
But I thought it was specific enough without being too granular. And you know, again, those 37, 38 minutes kind of flew by.
Yeah. To Steve's point, there's something to what was said about the alderman where she took issue with the way things have been handled aldermanically in the city. So what happens next? And they were in the room. She was saying, you know,
the first big test is going to be whether her proposed realignment of the council leadership,
mm-hmm.
of the committee leadership, is going to pass with 26 votes at least in the council. I hope that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she really sent up a warning to those aldermen, like, hey, I mean, she's saying like, it's time for change. Chicago is ready for reform. Now, we've heard this kind of thing before.
Sure.
And you come in with big plans. But again, this speech was, I thought, an exquisite inaugural speech, very uplifting, very hopeful. And it hit all the right points. So,
what do you make of the fact that the mayor did not receive a standing ovation? His wife did receive a standing ovation.
I think they just were a little late to stand up.
Were they?
They were standing for both of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think clearly Chicago's turned the page,
yeah.
right, on this. And again, I was writing notes also, and I heard what Wendy said about hope. I heard that throughout. And also talking about what our business is in the city. And I think that use of the word business over and over again was very deliberate and meant to talk about that, you know, we are a big business hub. This is a business city, but our business is more than just, you know, commerce and mm-hmm. making money. It is about taking care of one another. And her invocation of the hymn, you know, where she talked about
the song she sang as a small girl.
The song she sang as a small girl, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior."
That was good.
I guess she brought it all together at the end. And again, I think this is a very good speech. So
I got so weepy when she introduced her mom. Just to listen to her get choked up, and her mom doesn't travel very 90 years old.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, look at that. We're all still trying to please our moms.
Right. In the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did this end better than Game of Thrones, Eric Zorn?
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm going to say yes.
All right.
People are complaining about it online. That's all you can do. But I thought that she hit she had all the right notes, and this is what you're going to need to spin forward with the kind of support that she got in the election.
Yeah.
She's got some political muscle behind her. Let's hope she can do it.
Well said. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune sitting in with us. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.